may inherit eternal life. And Jesus said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Defraud not. Honor thy father and mother. And he answered and said unto him, Master, all these have I observed from my youth. Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him, and said unto him, One thing thou lackest. Go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come take up the cross, and follow me. And he was sad at that saying, and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. Now the book of the Acts, and chapter 24, Acts 24 and verse 24. And after certain days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewess, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. And as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, Go thy way for this time, when I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. Now chapter 16 of Acts. Verse 25. And at midnight Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. Suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep, and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword, and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, Do thyself no harm, for we are all here. Then he called for a light, and sprang in and came trembling, and fell down before Paul and Silas, and brought them out and said, Sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. Now a final reading in the book of the prophet Jeremiah, in the Old Testament, Jeremiah chapter 8, and verse 20. The harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved. And the Lord will bless what we have heard, and trust help us to preach the gospel from these scriptures that we have read together tonight. I would like to speak on the greatest happening or the greatest thing that could happen to any person that trods the sands of time. The blessing of God's salvation far excels all other happenings that may come our way. If I asked you tonight, what would be the greatest thing that could ever happen to you. Some might think, well, if I could win the lotto, we'll have persons that have won the lotto. It has made them rich overnight. But then they've had to leave their riches. Or if they haven't left them, they will have to, for we are not here to stay. But I would like to speak on something tonight that's the greatest blessing that ever could come to you. And that's the blessing of salvation. From these four scriptures we read, I would like to bring out four thoughts. In Mark's Gospel chapter 10, we have read of a young man. He was within reach of this salvation, but he missed it because it was not his priority. There was something more important to him than salvation. Now, friend, on said in this meeting tonight, you are within reach of salvation. God desires the salvation of your soul. God has done everything possible for you that you might be saved. This young man was within reach of this salvation. You are within reach of it tonight. Now, he missed it because there was something meant more to him than salvation. Now, there's something in your life that means more to you than salvation. You'll never get salvation. We read from Acts chapter 24. Felix came within reach of salvation. He had an interview with the Apostle Paul. And as they reasoned, righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled. As he faced eternity, he began to shake under the sound of the Word of God, and well he might. Within reach of salvation, but he missed it. Why did he miss it? He knew that he needed it, but he put it off until another time. Dear soul, in this meeting tonight, you can miss salvation, although you might know that you need to be saved. You might know it's the most important thing in a person's life to have salvation. But yet you could put it off and miss it altogether. We read in Acts chapter 16 of a man, to him, salvation was all important. That's why he got saved. Now, if salvation is all important to you tonight, there's a great possibility you could rejoice in this salvation. When we come to Jeremiah chapter 8, we have read solemn, sobering, searching words. Here are those who, and their lament is, the harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved. What makes it so solemn? The very same reason what makes this gospel meeting so solemn. There were those living last Sunday night. They were within reach of salvation. Tonight on the other side, they're out of reach. You and our gospel meeting tonight, you are within reach of salvation. It may be someone in this meeting, you're having your last opportunity. It may be before next Sunday night comes around. Not saved. Your harvest will be past. Your summer ended. Here are people that had the opportunity. Now opportunity's all gone. They're all in the past. Their harvest past. Their summer ended, and they're not saved. That makes this meeting very solemn. A boy in Truro the other night, 14 years of age, last Sunday night, as we say in the land of the living. Now he's on the other side, never to come back again. If saved, in heaven. If not saved, in hell. Where are you traveling tonight? Within reach of salvation? You could be saved tonight and know it. Are you going to let it slip? Or are you going to accept it? Accept him as your personal Savior. Now in Mark chapter 10, a young man comes running to the Lord Jesus Christ. We see many people running. But sad to say, there's not too many running for salvation. But he came interested in eternal life. We trust that you are interested in eternal life in this meeting. You could have no greater concern than for eternal life. This is the greatest blessing could ever come to a person. 42 years ago, it came my way. I heard the gospel. I was told from God's word. I was a sinner on the way to eternal ruin. Reminded from Romans chapter 3 that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now that took me in. And I learned from God's word that I was a sinner in need of salvation. Have you ever learned that? Has it ever come home to your heart? Well, I'm a sinner. I need the salvation of God if I'm ever going to be in God's heaven. This will be a good gospel meeting tonight. If you found that out. If you made that great discovery in this meeting that you need a Savior, that you cannot save yourself, that's where the message of the gospel comes in. That's what the gospel is. It tells us a way of escape. It tells us a way of deliverance. Not through works that you and I can do. Not through payments that you and I can make. But all by simple faith and a work that God has accomplished by His Son at the place called Calvary. I like to think of a hymn we sometimes sing, a verse of it. All my sins were laid on Jesus. Jesus bore them on the tree. God, who knew them, laid them on him. And believing, I go free. Now the way of salvation is very simple. It's very clear in the Word of God. This young man came to the right person. He was interested in the right matter, eternal life. He got the right answer. He was told to sell all that he had. But he wasn't willing to do it. You may get the right answer for the salvation of your soul tonight. But friend, you could turn aside. You could set the Lord Jesus Christ to the one side and miss him. And if you miss Christ, you miss salvation. Now this young man had required a complete sellout. But there was one thing that kept him out of God's heaven. One thing could keep you out of heaven. His possessions meant more to him than salvation. Is there anything that you know of in your life that would mean more to you than salvation? If there is, you won't get salvation. And every person that gets saved, they are souls that are in earnest. Now, earnestness is not salvation. But every person in this place here tonight, in this building, every soul here that's washed in the blood of Christ, saved by grace. Whenever we got saved, we were in earnest. Are you in earnest tonight? Did you come to this meeting to get salvation? Did you come with your mind made up? I want to be saved more than everything else in the world. This young man seemed to be in earnest, but he wasn't. Something meant more, his possession meant more to him than salvation. Within reach of eternal life. And because it was not his priority, he didn't get it. You and I can learn a lesson from him. Friend, if it's not your priority, you won't get it. And what a tragedy it would be to miss Christ and miss heaven and be in hell forever. We read from Acts chapter 24. Here's a governor, a judge. The apostle Paul, he sends for him. He and his wife for the audience. Paul reasoned with him. Righteousness. The righteousness of a holy God. A God that he had to meet. Temperance. Self-control. Felix had accepted many bribes. Backhanders, as we call them. People would have called Felix a big sinner. But as Paul reasoned with him of judgment to come, Felix, you're going to meet your sin. You've got to meet God. Felix trembled. Ah, he would have liked salvation. But he wanted the things of the world. He wanted his pleasures. He wanted his sin. Well, you see, a person can't have both. One must go. I remember standing on a pool room floor on the 13th of December, 1950. The 14th of December, 1950. I stood there watching two of my chums play snooker. As I watched them, the thought struck me. Bingham, what is it going to be? Your pleasures and sin or God's salvation? Friend, right in that spot I made up my mind. If God has salvation for me, I want it more than everything else in the world. That was about 2 or 3 minutes after 10. At 20 minutes to 12, God in mercy revealed to me or showed me from his word, Christ died for my sin, and that believing on him, I had eternal life. And in my simplicity, I believe God. Is that what salvation is? That's what salvation is tonight. Would you be willing tonight to believe God? Revelation chapter 22 we read, he that heareth say, come. Let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Salvation for the taking. It is all being provided for you in the Lord Jesus Christ. You can have it tonight. Friend, you can miss it tonight. Will you take Christ? A preacher preached in the prairie, a man I knew, he went to the prairie often to preach the gospel. He was preaching in a certain area, in a certain place. And there was a young woman there who was very anxious to be saved. And she had spent some sleepless nights wanting God's salvation. So one day he went to her home, and there she was in the kitchen. He said to her, he says, I'm very thirsty. I would love a drink. She went to the cupboard. She got a glass. She filled it with cold water. She set it on the table beside him. He sat there for about 10 minutes. Then he said again, oh, I'm so thirsty. I would love a drink of water. She went back to the cupboard. She got an hourglass. She filled it. She set it beside the other one. He didn't pay any attention to the glasses. A few minutes later, he said again, "Oh, I'm so thirsty. I would love to have a drink of water." She went back to the cupboard the third time, got the third glass, filled it, set it down. He sat there for about 15 minutes, and she was still in the kitchen. He says, "You know, I'm so thirsty. I would love to have a drink." She said, "Mr. Scott, there's three glasses of water provided for you to quench your thirst. All you have to do is take it." "Ah," he says, "young lady, God has made provision in His Son to meet your need. Christ has died that you might be saved. All you have to do is take Him." Right there in that spot, that young woman saw the picture. Why provision had been made for him. It was there for him, but it didn't do him any good until he took it. God has made provision for you in Christ. Salvation provided. It will be of no value to you until you take Him. Let Him take the water of life freely. Within reach of salvation, and missed it because he put it off. I know a young man, I did know him, 20 years of age, brought up in a Christian home. His father asked him to a gospel meeting one Friday night. He said, "Dad, I've got a date tonight. I can't go tonight, but I'll go for sure on Sunday night." The father thought that was all right. He was going to go to the meeting on Sunday night. The father went to the meeting, came home, 12 o'clock. The boy wasn't home. But 1 o'clock, a knock came to the door. A policeman. He says, "Are you Mr. So-and-so?" He says, "I am." "Do you have a son, John?" He says, "I do." "Well," he says, "I have sad news for you. John has met with an accident. He's in a certain hospital. I would advise you to go immediately to see him." He left with his wife and went. There he saw the boy only a few hours before who told him, "Dad, I can't go to the meeting tonight because I've got a date. But I'll go on Sunday night." And that wasn't too far away. That father poured into his unconscious son's ear the gospel, John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." But in a very short time, that young man breathed his last. He entered eternity. Within reach of salvation, I don't know whether he got saved or not. But oh friend, if he didn't, tonight, he's out of reach. His harvest is past. His summer ended. Not saved. The sad thing is, never will be saved. This is your opportunity God has given you tonight. We read from Acts chapter 16. I like to preach from this. Here's a man who began the night careless, went to sleep, put two gospel preachers in prison, made their back sore, their feet in stocks, couldn't stand up, couldn't sit down, an awkward position. He went to sleep, but they didn't. They prayed, and they sang praises to God. The prisoners around heard them. The jailer was asleep. God shook that place with an earthquake. He awakened. Everyone's bands loose. All doors open. Drew out a sword about to commit suicide. Paul says, do yourself no harm. We're all here. Then it says he called for a lamp. And he sprang in. Here's a man within reach of salvation. What must I do to be saved? Did they say join the church? Join the gospel hall? No, friend. They pointed him to a person. For there's no salvation in any other. There's no other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. The Lord Jesus Christ himself, he's the only Savior. But thank God tonight, he's able to save every sinner. There's two things required for salvation. One is knowledge. Not Dalhousie. But what's the knowledge a soul needs for salvation? That knowledge is that Christ died for my sins. Oh, you say, I know that. Christ died for our sins. Christ died for my sins. That's one thing that you need to know. The other thing is faith. Willing to trust and take God's word for it. Willing to accept the truth that Christ died for your sin. That's what salvation is. I remember a girl in the city of Vancouver, 23 years of age, coming home from work one night in the sky train, sitting beside her chum. She had been attending gospel meeting. And she began to smile. Her workmate said to her, what's wrong with you? She says, I just got saved. You just got saved where? She says, sitting right here. In the sky train? In the sky train. The other girl thought you couldn't get saved only in a place where the gospel was preached or church or somewhere. Well, she was sitting in that sky train. She says, how did you get saved? Well, she says, I was thinking of that verse. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. She says, I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe that he died for me. She says, the Bible says I'm saved. And she took God at his word. Is that salvation? If that's not salvation, I haven't got it. But friend, I've got it. And I know I've got it. And I got it and didn't feel it. But I knew. The very moment I believed God, Charles Wesley put it well. Soon as my all I venture on Christ's atoning blood, the Holy Spirit entered, and I was born of God. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you? What does God say? Thou shalt be saved. What do you say? God says I'm saved. What do I say? What is salvation? Agreeing with God against yourself. You may not, because you can't feel it, or because you can't see something, thing in the surroundings. Salvation's faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. You read those solemn words from Jeremiah chapter 8. The harvest is past. The summer is ended. And we are not saved. Friend, tonight, here are those who were once within reach of salvation. Now they're out of reach. I wonder, will there be one soul in this gathering here tonight? Only one will find themselves in the lake of fire forever. My friend, if we knew that one person, how our hearts would bleed. Our souls would be heavy. We would weep for your soul. And it's a great possibility there will be one. Unsaved friend, will you be that one? The harvest passed. The summer ended. Not she. Oh, dreadful thought. In hell to burn. Never to come back anymore. What must I do to be saved? Here's the answer. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Not about Him. What does it mean to believe in Him? To believe that He died for my sin. To accept God's word for it. To trust Him. Paul said, I know whom I have trusted and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day. May you come to Christ tonight within reach of salvation. Friends, you could be out of reach tomorrow night. Couldn't you? Shall we pray?